I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lamar Jackson excited. He says, among other things, that he's 100%, and he practiced today, along with every other Raven that's not on IR.
But is he 1,000%?
1,000%.
He's 1,000%.
Yeah. You at 1,000% yet?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
What's it going to take?
Him to get off the field on Thursday.
Anything can happen before kickoff.
He's more confident that people aren't playing bounce back fall back at home than he is that Lamar Jackson's going to play.
Your wife's not
even though we've
it,
got a text.
Nobody's playing it.
Margie plays.
He doesn't play it.
She plays.
No.
She loves the game.
Right. She doesn't score. She might play. She does not keep the score.
What is it going to take? Do you need someone to come up to us at the Green Turtle and Gambrels?
I need to see the scorebook.
Mm. He's got his own rules. The JLC.
What
else did Lamar have to say? Enough about me.
Yeah. Well, people like to hear what you have to say.
They get plenty of me. Trust me.
Trust me.
That's what I said. I do. Let's go to the videotape.
Lamar Jackson says every week is win or go home, Beltway Ben.
Coach pretty much touched on that, talking about that with us in the team meeting. You know, each and every game going to be like a win or go home game, you know. We started off first season ever starting off like this slow, so we're going to have to just do or die right now each and every week.
He knows what's ahead of him.
I would pay somebody a lot of money to ask him. As Harbaugh, Super Bowl or bust.
Oh, wow. That's what Aloysius is for, right?
It is.
Yeah.
What, is he in Florida? Is he back?
No, he was there today.
He was there today.
He'll be there tomorrow. Does Harbs talk again?
No, there's no media avail tomorrow.
Oh,
no,
we missed out.
I missed my
win. So let's assume.
Win or lose, it's a great question.
Time out. Let's assume they win on Thursday. When he meets with the media on Monday, Aloysius. Are we back?
Is the Vikings game a must-win?
Oh, that's a good one.
Your quarterback just said that must-win games from here on out. You agree?
You know, I'm here for it.
He would hate that.
I could think of a couple ways to phrase it he would really hate.
Yeah. You want to hear one more from Lamar?
I want to hear all of Lamar. I hear as much Lamar as we got.
Well, Lamar, not
you
only
haven't heard from Lamar in a minute.
Yeah, he's back with the guys, and one guy in particular he's happy to be back with, and that's Pat Ricard.
Extremely excited, man. Pancake Pat. I know y'all seen that block he had on 53. Self-explanatory, man. So, yeah, that. I'm excited.
See, Ricard depleting a guy as he did on Sunday. Didn't play a lot of snaps, but still got one pancake in.
Yeah, he makes a lot of things go, and they're going to need him. And, I mean, the more I sort of think about this game, the more convinced I become that Lamar is going to go off.
That would have to be with him playing, though, because you're not convinced he's going to play.
You aren't.
You have him convinced he's going to go off.
998% is pretty.
That's pretty close.
A little open-ended.
I think he's playing.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say I'm projecting him playing.
Yes.
He'll be featuring prominently on WannaBet the next 2 days.
So. Yeah.
And I have a feeling that this is going to bring out the best in him.
Bone, I had it sharp.
I don't know about 56 points, five touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah.
Which he's done twice against them. But I think a big night.
It wouldn't be Puka Nacua breaking the catch record bowl, but that would be close.
Yeah.
If you predicted
third
that.
Third time's a charm. Hat trick.
Yeah.
Hey, he loves prime time, and save for that one game in Miami on a Thursday night, he's been pretty great in prime time, and he hadn't played in a minute. So
I think he's got 15 touchdowns, one interception.
27 career primetime starts, 55 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 108.4 rating, 67% completion percentage. He has two or more passing touchdowns in seven of his last eight primetime games. His last eight primetime games, 21 touchdowns, no picks. He's also run for at least 33 yards in 26 of his last 27 primetime games.
Are the rushing props out yet?
Oh, they're out.
Oh, they are?
Where are you on his running with the hamstring? He says he's 100%.
I mean, I think he's going to – I think we're going to see pretty soon in this game that even if he's – as long as he's north of 75%, I think he's got 30 yards in him.
And even with the Dolphins who – shut down the Falcons offense in general, but the Falcons didn't run the ball, in their limited touches, not effectively. Bijan was under 3 yards per carry. They're still 29th in yards per carry allowed, 28th in rushing yards allowed.
Yeah, and they're not facing Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson's little pathetic offense here. That's
Monk.
A little different.
Monk
and 100 and or 1,000% Lamar.
You want to know what I'm bummed about? We don't get Monk.
It's really, it's Monk, Lamar, and Trippy. It's Monk, Lamar, and Trippy. That's the holy trilogy of offense.
Trinity, yes.
Trinity, that's coming down there.
Yes, yes.
Look out.
Well, do we know Trippy's going down there?
He's down there in spirit. His spirit lives in Monk. I think we know that much.
Todd F them F's Monk Monkin.
I think it was MF's.
F them MF's.
We could get Trippy to get Todd Monk to call somebody a mook so that we can play on the show.
That would be great.
I think Trippy,
if you're listening.
You think you get him to do it?
Trippy, if you're listening.
Hey, Monk, we're going to do this video together. Let's say F them mooks together. Yeah. You think you could probably get him to do it?
Yeah. No, I would love that. So. I would love that. Hey.
I'd like to be able to one day go to do X Factors, and it's Trippy and Monk saying F them mooks,
yeah.
And then his heart saying that's an X Factor.
Yeah, that would be that.
Huh?
That would be great. That would be mic drop. So Lamar's back Sunday, or excuse me, Thursday. Ricard was back Sunday. Keaton Mitchell was back Sunday. So all of this together, what does that mean for Derrick Henry? Could he go off on Thursday? We'll discuss next.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's here on The Fan. Ravens back on the practice field today. No media availability tomorrow. Everybody practice, which includes one Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry's coming off a game. 21 carries, 71 yards, 2 touchdowns. Past Walter Payton, now in the top 5 all-time of rushing touchdowns. He's got Lamar back. He's got Ricard back. Keaton Mitchell's now part of the fold in the running game. What can Derrick Henry do to the Dolphins Thursday night?
I think you're looking for what... I don't think it's got to be super explosive. I mean, it might be. That's a bad rushing defense, but we just saw him shut down. Look, Bijan Robinson, Algier, I don't care who the quarterback is, with that offensive line, on the fast track in Atlanta. So I don't know that he's going to go off on them, and I don't know that he has to. I think he needs to run the ball enough in the first half that they're able to get the number of rushes that they want. I think him as the finisher is a big deal. It sets an emotional tone, a physical tone. And he needs to be able to run for tough yards in the red zone. And that's where having a Ricard back can really help. Look, Lamar's as good as he gets. And I think Lamar's going to be able to fling the ball around on them a little bit or maybe quite a bit. And I don't think this is a game where you've got to play it not to lose. You know, we've watched with these backup quarterbacks the last basically 3 weeks. Like, I think you need Derrick Henry to have the occasional 5-yard run on first down. And I think you need him on, you know, 3rd and 3 and 3rd and 2 and 4th and 1. And again, inside the red zone, in goal to go situations, you need him to be effective.
Something to keep in mind for Thursday and really moving forward, especially now that Patrick Ricard's back. We mentioned yesterday Huntley 3 for 3, 45 yards and a touchdown when Ricard was on the field. Lamar, in the first four games, of course, this was without Ricard, he was the best quarterback in football in play action, and it's not even close. Yeah. 22 of 24 passing, 354 yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 picks. That's a perfect passer rating, 91.7% completion percentage.
I know we've been waiting for the explosives, right, from this group, but I do think with Ricard back now that you're going to see, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 instances in this game where they run play action from under center with Ricard on the field, and it's a ball that travels 20 yards or more in the air, and somebody in the purple, I guess they're wearing white, somebody in the Ravens jersey catches it.
Say Flowers.
Maybe Bateman.
I think maybe more than just one. I think more than just Say Flowers. I think Isaiah Likely is about to reemerge. I think Bateman is going to catch a couple balls. Like I think that's going to be hard for Miami's caliber of defense not to be sucked in on and not to just oversell out to try to stop the run in those situations. And I think Monk's going to be able to play around with his personnel. Yeah, the real little guy with Zay. But, you know, even Kohler out of a package like that might be able to do something.
By the way, Zay, two things. Number one, Isaiah Likely had 2 catches for 8 yards, so he was there on Sunday. But the other thing, the Keaton Mitchell of it all, and I know we're Henry-centric, but the idea of him being that guy late in the game once you've beaten the defense up with Henry, and he's that guy that with the burst, I kind of like that, what I saw on Sunday with that part of it.
It was great. I mean, it's what you're looking. You're looking to hope that on a small sample size, you can still get an explosive or a couple of explosives, and that's exactly what he provided. I think he can be dangerous on draw plays running inside, and we know what he can do in the screen game as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think, again, you're going to see more than 5 to 7 snaps total, and he's not going to maybe even touch the ball on some of those. But if he does get 3 to 5 chances to touch the ball, can one or two of those be a momentum-creating play? I think he can.
And that's what you saw Sunday. He played 7 snaps. He had 4 carries in that game. He had the 25-yarder down the sideline. Harbs doubled down on it again, talking yesterday during his press conference about wanting to get Keaton Mitchell more involved after him being a healthy scratch to begin the season.
But I also think we should, like, fans that think he's going to get 15 touches.
No.
Like, I don't think that's ever happening, at least not here.
Well, and look, a lot of it is dictated by game. Like, so Chicago didn't have a whole lot going in the pass rush, even when Ronnie was out. So I think we saw a little less justice because they could sort of get away with a little less justice. Now remember, that game was at home. It's a big difference. This offensive line, even last year, when it was really good, I can remember doing segments running the home road splits and saying, if the other team's got a real pass rusher and they're on the road, all of a sudden he could pick left tackle, right tackle, and find at least a little joy. This is on the road. They got 2 pass rushers there who, I mean, at least one of them wants out. They might both want out. The crowd might be a little energized because of what happened on
Sunday.
Probably
some Ravens fans there.
There'll be a lot of Ravens fans.
And it's just they haven't played many road games. And so you might need a little more Justice Hill in this one. You might need him chipping people and selling out to help Lamar out. And again, it's great to have Ricard back, but it's 2 games in 5 days, and he played, you know, maybe they held him to only 14 snaps in that game because they think he's got a whole lot more here. Or maybe he's just at a point in his way back where he's only going to play 15 to 20 snaps.
Before we step out, a couple of Raven for Life news, a few news tidbits. Number one, Raven for Life Eddie Jackson worked out for the Steelers, nice. Which is interesting.
Think he's still in the circle of trust?
Yeah, Raven for Life Marcus Williams signed to the Chargers practice squad, and Raven for Life Deontay Johnson worked out for
right
the
there.
Giants.
When they should all get inducted into
That's
the
a
Raven
Trinity.
For Life Hall of Fame together.
Yes. How about
they should
that?
Walk in together.
What's it say RFLs. About the Steelers that they brought Eddie Jackson in?
Their defense sucks.
They got some problems.
Chuck Clark laboring, trying to chase down Tucker Kraft on, was that Sunday night? Yeah, Sunday night.
And they just lost Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah.
He's week to week.
That guy can't stay healthy. Hey, coming up next, are the Ravens defense, it was good on Sunday, in large part because their spine played well, and we'll throw Marlon Humphrey into that. So the name guys on this team, Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey. How confident are we that they can start stacking performances? We'll discuss next here on The Fan. After the first two drives, so essentially after the first quarter, that we felt the Ravens defense played good football. And part of that was because their name guys, Kyle Hamilton, mm-hmm. Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith, all played good games against the Bears. So what is your level of confidence that they'll be able to stack that and play well again Thursday in Miami?
And we'll talk about the Miami side of this a lot more tomorrow. I really don't know what to make of the Miami Dolphins. There's a part of me that thinks this is going to be a little bit of a tougher assignment. Tua's thrown, three or more touchdowns in like three of his last four games? Like, he's also had multiple three interception games in that span. They're down some key pieces, but sometimes, like, you kind of simplify. You know, Waddle knows he's going to get fed every game. Achan knows he's going to get a bunch of touches. Losing Waller hurts. That would have been a real challenge to this defense. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I want to see them muster a pass rush on the road, much like I want to see the Ravens offensive line handle a decent defensive line on the road. Roquan needs to be an impact player every game from here on out. Like, every game.
No days off.
He needs to be a tone setter. He needs to be a physical presence. I think the more Kyle Hamilton gets to play in this sort of simplified role, the better it's going to be for him. And I think Marlon had a bounce back game too. And Marlon, I think, if they're able to stay healthy back there and Gilman gets set in and that helps Starks and they get a little more confident in him, then they might be able to toggle corners a little bit more and mix and match and get Marlon in the slot when you want him, get Marlon outside when you want him, and play around with that a little bit. With Marlon, I'm just concerned about this body at this point.
Yeah, he's been beat up a lot this year, that's for sure. But in terms of the defense as a whole, I'm just looking for them to continue what they've been doing these past two games. It hasn't been perfect. This isn't the 2000 Ravens, the defense that's feared, but it's been effective. You held the Rams to 17 points. You held the Bears to 16 points. And you've given up, didn't give up that much yards against the Rams, but you gave up yards against the Bears, but you clamped down in the red zone. The Bears and the Rams, the last two games, 3 for 8 in red zone conversions into touchdowns. And can you win the turnover battle again? Tua, you mentioned him, Jason. He's got 10 interceptions. He's going to give you some chances.
Yeah.
Can you come down with it? Tua hasn't been sacked all that much this year, but can you get just an effective pass rush at key situations like you did against Chicago? That's what I'm looking for. This defense, you don't have to be great because we think that Lamar is going to put on a show under the lights, but can they be good enough?
But the Roquan of it all is interesting because against the Bears and against the Browns, he was suffocating to the ball, the guys catching the ball. Like there was no yak to be had because even if he was on top of you. In every other game, he's chasing. So I guess we'll see pretty quickly which Roquan Smith we get on Thursday. And I was thinking about this, Jason. Like if you had to stack most confident to least confident as far as replicating what we saw on Sunday, I think it's Hamilton 1, Marlon 2, Roquan 3.
I would agree. And look, I mean, one of the things that they should be able to do now because of some of Miami's personnel absences when we're taking a Waller and we're taking a Tyreek Hill out. Look, this Malik Washington, he might go off a little bit in this game. Like, he's got speed. Like, somebody else to take the top off might benefit. But, boy, I would just think you try to smother Waddle, right? Like, don't you just try to bracket him as much as you possibly can and – you know, if you're playing with man under, like you're putting a shell over him, I think, as much as you can. Now, they'll probably put him in motion and they'll try to do some different things with him. And they'll throw him the ball in bubble screens. They'll throw him the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and that's fine. But I would think you would be somewhat selling out to try to take away 50-yard free shots to him.
I also think going back to Roquan, where he's going to get tested by Achane, where he catches a lot of balls out of the backfield, and you know that he has that home run hitting ability
as well.
He's got
real speed and twitch, and yeah, I think he'll be a tough matchup for any of these linebackers. I mean, I'm guessing you'd try to get a Simpson on him if
sure,
you could, but how much are those guys going to be on the field? And look, I think, you know, Miami, like some of that outside zone stuff could still be a problem for these guys. And then they can get behind a fullback and run it right at you too. So I don't know. The over seems like this number feels high to me, this 51 or whatever. But
hey, even Miami, the last few losses, they were in the mid-20s.
Well, and that's with Tua killing drives with interceptions.
Yeah. I look at Waddle. He's definitely not the same body type as Odunze. Like,
no.
I don't see him being able to take.
No, Wiggins on Waddle with somebody over the top. I mean, I don't think you have to overthink that.
That should work.
I mean, yeah. Look, he's been going off lately, and those two are. And what he will do is run those cross. They'll run him across the face of a defense now, and that's been a problem for these guys.
We have one more segment left before we are done for the day. We will come back, get the text today. We will preview tomorrow's show and get you ready.
We got World Series tonight?
Yeah, we do have World Series tonight. But we go to Infinity Sports Radio then. Pregame coverage for Game 4 of the World Series. That's coming up
morning
at
show
7.
Almost got preempted.
Oh, yeah.
We would have just kept running the game, right? Yeah. I mean, the game was in the 25th inning.
3 a.m.
5, whatever, 30. We would have kept running it.
Oh, man. It's 3 a.m. ending. That's something. By the way, a lot of empty seats at Dodger Stadium.
I don't know.
But that's next here on The Fan.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Good sports night. Obviously, you can listen to Game 4 of the World Series right here on 105.7 The Fan. We got the Sixers and Wizards tonight, among other NBA
people
games.
People are real fired up for that.
I'm fired up about that.
Let me tell you, on the sports calendar,
I'm fired.
That is Ohtani pitching and then Subhead.
Hey. Sixers game starts at 7.
There'll be 7,000 people at the Wizards game.
How was going to the Sixers game? Was that last week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That way Ben went?
Yeah. We had Melo Ball kind of winked, flirted a little bit with a triple-double.
Nice.
We got,
That's right. I thought he was gone.
We got good they gave away cool t-shirts.
Yeah, I saw Ben was wearing it yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good game. Sixers came back on them and won, so Sharkey wasn't happy about that. His Hornets lost.
I did see an angry
But then the next night, Ball got a, went to Washington and got his triple-double.
I did see an angry tweet by you, though. The
parking, getting off the parking lot, which usually hasn't
really? Philly's usually easy.
Yeah, they had the traffic pattern screwed up on Broad Street. It wasn't.
Wow, that's one of the things
I've never
love
had trouble getting
out
of there.
Yeah.
But except for this time.
Yeah.
How long did it take?
Took a while. I mean, it took me probably 45 minutes to go, I don't know, 5,000 feet.
Jeez.
Yeah, usually he can speak to it. That system, because they got all the stadiums and arenas in one spot, and it's right off 95.
Saturday night, it's not like there's an entertainment district around there.
You know.
Like, there's nothing else going on around there except for 17,000 people leaving this arena, and they've got it red. It was like red for like 7 minutes at a time, and then it would turn green for 90 seconds and go red again. I was timing it. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Want to bet anything you like in the World Series?
A lot. WantToBetWithUs.com. It's all there.
Let the people know about your lobster bets.
If you go to WantToBetWithUs.com, you could get it on Spotify. You get it on the Apple Podcast. All the different links are there. Thanks to Jeff Freeland. He's not listening to this, but he does watch WantToBet. He built the website for us, not Odyssey. So that was awesome. He's an OG. He's got one of the few hoodies in existence.
So does the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I don't know where I don't know where that one is.
So how?
I'll find out on Friday.
Did you get it to Burge yet? Did you send it up?
No. I sent the text saying, hey, where do you want me to send it?
Really?
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Who cares? I'm not going to pry. Like, does he think I'm a creeper? Like, I really want their address or something? I don't know.
By the way, Ben, let's get the text today.
Check 1-2. Check.
Text of the day comes from Mark in Baltimore. Says, confused as to why I'm seeing Keaton Mitchell trade rumors on social media.
this week should have emphasized what he can do for this offense and wouldn't make any sense to get rid of him.
Well, first of all, the Keaton Mitchell trade rumors were before the Bears game is this thing, and I think it was also implying that the season was going down the drain and they become full-blown sellers, full-blown shout-out Aloysius.
Yeah, they're not looking to trade Keaton Mitchell at this point, after especially John Harbaugh coming out saying that was a big goal of theirs during the bye week. Hey, we got to give him the football after.
Well, we're going to talk about the trade deadline much more on tomorrow's show, because this will be the last game they really
Tuesday.
A week from
tomorrow. A week from today.
Wait,
right?
A week from today.
Tuesday. I don't know why I was thinking today.
2 weeks from last Tuesday.
Yeah.
I feel like this happened. Didn't this happen the Ngakoue year where they played on a Thursday before the deadline and had like a lot of time?
They said more to come. Remember that? Yeah. We ain't done yet.
Right. Anywho.
Yeah. But they didn't do anything else.
And turns out they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything with Ngakoue.
Yeah.
Hey, he had a second tour.
He was on the practice squad for a minute.
He could be back. Who knows?
Yeah, he did tweet.
He's a Raven for life, I'm sure.
He did tweet that he's ready to go. By the way, Harps did announce earlier that Broderick Washington's having surgery, so I don't know if that's season ending, but not good as far as the D-line.
Well, any surgery in the middle of the season is going to compromise it.
Yeah. He's going to go on IR. I think he's already on IR, so he's going to miss some time.
It's so much more magnified, the fact that you lose Matabike and now Brody. Not fortifying the defensive line during the offseason, doing more there.
It was a mess.
Blind spot.
Oh, Beltway Ben. Don't PTSD Beltway Ben.
The blind spot ended up being right. That fraudulent team scored what? How many runs in the NLCS? I don't really remember, but pretty pathetic if you ask me. I don't know.
Beltway Ben. One of the final four teams.
Beltway Ben.
They won three more games.
Losing to a juggernaut. Beating your division rival with the bigger payroll and then losing to a juggernaut.
Did the Blue Jays score more runs?
That series. What was that?
Did the Blue Jays score more runs in one inning of game one than the Brewers scored in the entire NL?
Yeah, they did. It was actually, I'm not trying to be funny, it was one of the most poor performances at the plate I've seen. And then there was like all the talk about Blake Snell. Toronto had Blake Snell.
He couldn't throw a strike.
He feared. When you have what the Brewers had coming up, when Yelich is coming up in the three spot and you're throwing it underhand just for him to ground out to second base,
that's fraud. Roll over.
If you ask me.
Roll over.
Three playoff wins.
Fraud.
Frauds.
Three fraud. More than us four. I mean, what a
combined.
Yeah, that's fraud. True. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Three more than the Orioles the last, whatever, 10 years?
Three more than the Orioles, too.
Yeah. Beltway Ben, if that game five would have been in Chicago, were the Brewers playing in that series?
It wasn't in Chicago because the Brewers won the most games.
I'm just asking a hypothetical. I'm just asking Ben a question.
Did you see how terrified they were in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm asking Ben a question.
Then they go to L.A. That was men amongst boys. I mean, that team is fraudulent.
Men amongst boys. Yeah, yeah. I was just checking where Ben was on this. Bone.
19 caches out of 20.
Made a lot of money off of them in the playoffs, too. Every time I faded, I'm a cash. So.
Oh, good job.
You only got to fade them for 2 weeks.
I got them
all summer.
We had a lot of props, though.
I got them all
even
all
the
summer.
Cubs here. James Tyone. Get some outs. Oh, yeah, this fraudulent lineup will pop out. There it is.
Yeah. There you go, Beltway Ben. Taking over the world.
Ben's the best.
What are we on tomorrow's show,
Ben? Ben is the best. We got Jim Duquette joining us. Tim Murray. Get our best bets with him. And Ryan Ripken.
What's he think of the new manager? That'll
Orioles
be interesting.
Fine?
Yeah, the offseason, I guess, is fine. They're getting
a lot of this coaches. Coaching staff is not
They're looking for work because they've already, according to the beat guys, two of their assistant hitting coaches are already gone. And Anthony Sanders, according to a New York writer, has been told he can go look for other work. So that's what happens when you have a new manager. He brings in staff. Alas, that's it for us. Infinity Sports Radio, followed by Game 4 of the World Series, right here on 105.7 The Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.